Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Back in 1977, an Anglican who knows Jesus, some do, some don't, but an Anglican who knows Jesus by the name of John Howe, very well-educated fellow, knows how to do scholarly research, and as an Anglican, he managed to have a good knowledge of British history as well as the Scriptures. He wrote an article in 1977, published in Christianity Today. It came out in October, October 21st, 1977. The title of the article is, "What is Happy About Halloween?" Because, of course, the expression that is very popular in many places at this time of year is, "Oh, Happy Halloween!" In fact, Halloween has become the second most lucrative holiday in America. For American businesses, people spend more on Halloween celebration than they do on any other holiday except Christmas. Christmas still has the lead on materialistic gorging. And so if you want some notion of what is popular with Americans, Halloween is right up there in second place. And the only thing that puts Christmas number one is not Jesus. That's not what Americans spend their money on at Christmas time. It's food, parties, gifts, decorations, Santa. What is happy about Halloween? Well, I mean, you know, it's a fun time. Kids get lots of candy. That's fun. But what is Halloween? We said last time that a holiday is a holy day. Well, a hallowed in is a holy evening, an evening set apart the day before, okay? Remember, going back to creation, and the Jews still observe it this way, your day starts at sunset. The evening is rolled into the next day, which will end at sunset on that day. So the idea of evening and morning being a day is actually very old as humanity, older in fact. Pastor, what are you saying? We need to start doing that? No, I'm just saying, understand what words mean. They do have meanings. Halloween is the evening before the holy day, which is November 1st. Why is November 1st holy? Well, we'll get there. There was a celebration honoring the lives of those who had died in the previous year, recognizing because many had been martyred, etc., going all the way back to the 300s, and then it became a day to honor them because so many people were martyred, etc. We can't just celebrate, you know, this day for this saint and this day for this one who was martyred, this day for this one. And other people have lost loved ones, and so let's honor them all on one day. And in May of 609, the Catholic Church decided, and at that time, the word Catholic really applied. It was the Church Universal. And May of 609, they decided we're going to have one day to honor all the saints, all the people who've died. And so May of 609, and they did that in May of 610 and May of 611 and so forth and so on. But it got moved by Pope Gregory in 837, over 200 years later. Over 200 years, they're celebrating it in May. But now they move it to November 1st. Pope Gregory says, we're going to do it on November 1st from now on. Why? Well, because they were wanting to bring in a bunch of pagan peoples in the British Isles. And these pagan peoples had a celebration in the fall. It was called October 31st was the date that they had this celebration honoring a demon being called Samhain, Lord of the Dead. And on that day, these demon-worshipping people in the British Isles, especially in Ireland, had all kinds of rituals. It was demon worship. And the church wanted to kind of, we can't get them to stop, but maybe we can sort of bring them in if we give them something to come to church to celebrate on November 1st. Okay? So November 1st became All Saints Day. Used to be in May. Now it's November 1st. Okay? And so the evening before, whatever you do, you know, just come to church the next day. Kind of like Mardi Gras before Lent. See? Go out, party, get drunk, fornicate, commit adultery, do whatever you're going to do. Just come the next day and do confession and say you're sorry and then go without some stuff for a while and it'll all be good. It's called Christianizing paganism. We take something that is pagan and we put a Christian dress on it. And now it's okay. Okay? And we'll try and, after you feel like you're one of us, we'll instruct you better how you can do things our way, and it'll all be good. I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 18, where God told the Jewish people how to behave when they went into an area that was dominated by demon worship. Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 9. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium, or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. This is God's word. So if you go into a place where people do a whole bunch of things that are horribly evil, is it okay to just kind of say, well, I think that part's interesting. I don't believe in this stuff. I just think it's kind of cute. For our church social, we're going to have a party. We're going to invite in the neighborhood, and we'll have, oh, we can have the pastor's wife dress up like a gypsy in a little booth in the basement, you know, with a little crystal ball. I think somebody's got a crystal ball. Martha, don't you have a crystal ball? Yeah, okay. You bring your crystal ball. We're gonna do this, and the pastor's wife is gonna wear a little bandana around her head and all, and put on some makeup. She's gonna pretend to be a fortune teller. Okay, it'll be fun. You say, Pastor Wood, they would never do that, would they? Yes, I know churches that have done that. I've never pastored one. As you might imagine, folks like that don't like folks like me. But there are churches that think it's fine. We're going to do palm reading, okay? Well, I mean, it's just innocent. We don't really believe this stuff. But it's fun to pretend, okay? Astrology, Ouija boards, all those attempts to connect with the spirit world through those human-devised means. Now, some of you undoubtedly have been involved in that kind of activity, and you didn't know what you were getting into. Years ago, I asked a group of young people if Jesus Christ is their Lord. Most of them laughed at me. One girl got up and followed me up the road in Montreat, and she said, I'm sorry about the way that they acted. Jesus isn't my Lord, but I know he should be. So we had a great conversation. We talked about what it means for Jesus to be Lord. We talked about the fact that he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. And I invited her to yield her life to Christ right there. And she said, I want to, but something inside won't let me. What might that be? Well, obviously, there was a demonic stronghold in her life. And so I prayed and asked the Lord to show me where that stronghold was and what that stronghold was. And the Lord very clearly impressed on my heart astrology. Now, she wasn't wearing a Sign of the Zodiac t-shirt or something. There was no visual clue. But God knew that that is not only what she was involved in, but that that is how Satan had gotten a stronghold in her life, so that now she was used to doing what the demons told her instead of submitting herself to the Lord. And I said, you're really into astrology, aren't you? And her response was, many of you have heard this story, her response was, yeah, man, really heavy. That's the way people talked when I was a teenager. Just wait, it'll be back. So I said, well, that's how Satan has gotten hold of you, and it's a demonic force that is trying to keep you from surrendering your life to Jesus. And she said, oh, my dad told me there's no such thing as demons. Her dad was a Presbyterian minister. No such thing as demons. His daughter's demonized, but it's okay because he doesn't believe in demons. And he's taught her not to. She was from Florida. I said, you're from Florida, right? She said, yes. And I said, if somebody from another part of the country came to Florida and wanted to go swimming, and they'd never heard of alligators, and they went into a little body of water that had alligators in it, would their ignorance about alligators protect them from the alligators? And she said, no. And I said, exactly. The fact that you don't believe in demons is not protection. They're real. God says so. And I'm going to pray right now that God is going to set you free so that you can receive Jesus. I prayed, I bound that spirit, and she prayed and received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Let me just tell you something. I heard a song on the radio this last week that I really enjoyed, in which a guy talked about all the things he's afraid of and said, but I have to remember, the things that I'm afraid of are afraid of you. You need to know that demons are real, but that God is infinitely greater and more powerful. So you don't need to be afraid. Oh, no, what if there's a demon? Well, there are demons. But the demons are the ones that are in trouble because Jesus Christ is Lord.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
So, I told you John Howe wrote the article in Christianity Today, but he's prejudiced, you know. He's one of those evangelical Christians. You can't really believe what they say. I mean, they might make up stuff and pretend that it's legit, that it's scholarship. So let's go to a pagan source of information. If you want to know about British history, you might look in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Okay? Encyclopedia Britannica says Halloween, also called All Hallows' Eve or evening, a holy or hallowed evening observed on October 31st, the eve of All Saints' Day. In modern times, it is the occasion for pranks and for children requesting treats or threatening tricks. In ancient Britain and Ireland, the Celtic festival of Samhain was observed on October 31st at the end of summer. This date was also the eve of the new year in both Celtic and Anglo-Saxon times, and was the occasion for one of the ancient fire festivals when huge bonfires were set on hilltops to frighten away evil spirits. The date was connected with the return of herds from pasture and laws of land and land tenures were renewed. The souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes on this day, and the autumnal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, hobgoblins, black cats, fairies, and demons of all kinds said to be roaming about. It was the time to placate, hear this, it was the time to placate the supernatural powers controlling the processes of nature. In other words, we're going to do things to try and please the demons that we believe control natural forces. Who controls natural forces? Who should we be seeking to please? God. But see, the demonized pagan people didn't know that. In addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for divinations concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. It was the only day on which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. Who published this? What right-wing fundamentalist Bible thumper? Oh, Encyclopedia Britannica, that's right, okay. It was the only day on which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. The pagan observances influenced the Christian festival of All Hallows' Eve, celebrated on the same date. Gradually, Halloween became a secular observance, and many customs and practices developed. In Scotland, young people assembled for games to ascertain which of them would marry during the year, and in what order the marriages would occur. Many Halloween customs have become games played by children. Many Halloween customs have become games played by children. Many Halloween customs have become games played by children. It's just a game. We're just playing. We don't really believe this. We don't take it seriously. We're just having fun. Immigrants to the U.S., particularly the Irish, introduced secular Halloween customs that became popular in the late 19th century. That's the 1800s for those of you still learning. Mischief-making on this occasion by boys and young men included overturning sheds and outhouses and breaking windows, and damage to property was sometimes severe. In later years, the occasion has come to be observed mainly by small children who go from house to house, often in costume, demanding trick or treat. The treat, often candy, is generally given, and the trick rarely played. Since 1965, UNICEF, an agency of the United Nations, has attempted to incorporate the Halloween observance into the collection of money for the United Nations Children Fund. Oh, now we can do something good while we're out. The common symbol of Halloween is the jack-o'-lantern. The name possibly was derived from that of a night watchman. It is a hollowed-out pumpkin carved in the appearance of a demonic face and a lighted candle fixed inside. In Scotland, a turnip was used. The Scots are notoriously cheap. A turnip was used. I'm heavily Scottish, by the way. But the native pumpkin was substituted in the United States. Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? It's wrong to have pumpkins around? No, God grows pumpkins. Turn them into pies and pumpkin bread. I prefer pumpkin bread over pies. But is there anything wrong with just recognizing the change of season? No. Can we have decorations? Sure. But I want you to understand that what happens at this time of year is, like what happens the rest of the year, spiritually charged. And this time of year is especially a time when those who openly celebrate the demonic assert themselves. And tragically, the church's response to that culturally has been to try and act like it's no problem. It's okay. It's fun. I would suggest to you that the most prevalent spirit, as far as demonic spirits, category of demonic spirits, the most prevalent, widespread, demonic spirit that is embraced by people inside and outside the church at this time is a spirit of fear. There will be weeks of movies on all the networks at this time of year designed to give us the thrill of being scared out of our wits. What fun! Oh, it was so good. Man, I was just so terrified. It was great. Here's the problem. If you invite that spirit into you through stuff designed to make you fearful, you think it's just going to leave after the movie's over. But it doesn't. You're not really afraid that somebody in a hockey mask is going to jump out of your closet. Well, maybe some of you are. But what becomes a problem is that that spirit begins to suggest that you know you should do this, but you better not, because people might not like you if you do that. You become afraid of doing what you should do, and for some reason, not afraid of doing what you shouldn't, because you've handed the fear over to the enemy, and you're getting your cues from him. Let me tell you something. And this, by the way, is God's word. Speaking to Christians, the Apostle Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Speaking to Christians, he says, we are no longer slaves to a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of adoption, whereby we call him Abba Father. The spirit of fear is one of the main demonic forces that is promoted heavily by the world's observance of Halloween. Well, Pastor, what if I've been involved in things that I guess really amount to witchcraft? God still loves you, but he wants you to get free. And the way you get free is not by holding on to that and reaching out for Jesus. It's by reaching out for Jesus and saying, please, take over my life. I want you, and I don't want anything in my life that is displeasing to you. And God says those things are detestable.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.